The cry of Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me, has been called a cry of dereliction or a cry of abandonment. In this moment, Jesus feels all alone. And this is confusing to us because what we've seen so far in the Gospels is this strong relationship between Jesus and God in heaven, whom he calls his Father. And the connection between Jesus and the Holy Spirit seems to be intimate and continual and personal too. Here on the cross, it looks like Jesus feels all alone and abandoned. The words, my God, why have you forsaken me? They don't show up in all the Gospels. They're in Matthew and Mark, but not in Luke and John. Some scholars think that Luke and John left them out so that it wouldn't lessen the majesty of Jesus or confuse people about the suggestion of him being abandoned and left alone. But others say that Matthew and Mark include this fourth cry from the cross as a prayer because it adds to the dignity of Jesus. That in these words, we see Jesus experiencing the same kind of aloneness that we all experience from time to time. Jesus felt like we do when we feel overwhelmed and experience hopelessness and despair. I've sat with people who have walked into a darkness, into a dark valley. Some of you have too. A car accident has taken place. A sudden illness has been discovered. A job has been lost. Pain and darkness can be overwhelming with a sense of abandonment and aloneness. And we ask ourselves, where is God? My God, why have you forsaken me? Most of us have felt that prayer. Maybe we even prayed it out loud. These words tell us that, though, that at the center of our faith is someone who gets our life experience. Jesus, treated cruelly and put on a cross, felt alone and abandoned. Now again, most of us have prayed this prayer. When someone we love dies, when we face a struggle that we never wanted to face, when we feel belittled or humiliated, a time when God seems silent or far away, in these moments we can turn to God and cry out to Jesus, who knows what we are feeling and sympathizes. God didn't abandon me and God won't abandon you. For even though Jesus felt forsaken, his mind kept trusting, and later experience would show that he was not alone. Now, it's a lesson of history. Leaders who lead only for their benefit and comfort and wealth do not remain in power forever. Leaders who ignore the suffering and poverty of their people may have a season of rule, but it's not blessed by God and it will not last. Now, Jesus could have been that kind of a king. He could have chosen comfort and luxury for himself. One of the early temptations he faced in the wilderness was to bow down and worship me, and I will give you the riches of the world. That's what the evil tempter said. But that was not Jesus' way. This king, Jesus, comes to his people, especially those who are suffering and being pushed around, and he seeks to heal and deliver them. This king faces injustice, suffering, torture, and death, and he identifies with his people. This is the kind of king that we follow. When we feel alone or helpless, we pray to someone who has experienced the same. When I hear Jesus make this cry from the cross, I know that he identifies as and has compassion with me whenever I go through dark periods in my life. My God, why have you forsaken me? There is sacrificial love in these words. Jesus' work was not painless and it was not without cost. Sharing life and grace often involves a cost, not just in terms of time or money, but in terms of emotional or physical energy as well. Being a follower of Jesus can bring great joy and satisfaction, but there is also a risk and sacrifice and giving of yourselves so that others might know the grace of God. Has the sharing of God's love cost you anything? Has it given you any discomfort? Way back when I was a young pastor, I took our kids from the Arlington Church, a small town in Minnesota, to Minneapolis to work on a Habitat for Humanity project. We worked hard in the hot July sun to help build a home for a single mom who had 5 kids. Cheryl was the mother. She got off work every afternoon from Sears and joined us for a few hours of work, and we got to know her. Habitat calls that sweat equity. Now, I remember Cheryl coming up to me and asking about why we were there. Why would these kids from a small town come to work here on my house in Minneapolis? Did they get in trouble or something? She wondered. No, I said. They volunteered for this. They're enjoying themselves. I can't believe a group of kids would do this for me, for my family. What kind of people are they? Well, I said, they're just Christians, and they want to love like Jesus loves. They were living just one of the basic tenets of Christian life, being willing to do what might be uncomfortable or inconvenient or tiring, even sacrificial. Followers of Jesus live like this. They serve others by working at things like Cross Food Shelf, Breaking Free, Feed My Starving Children, other food ministries. They go on summer mission trips. They think about a little village in Africa that they had visited, and then they try to figure out a way to bring electricity to that village. Jesus' followers serve in prison. They give rides and they teach kids and adults how to read. They do all sorts of things that might be inconvenient or uncomfortable, but ultimately are incredibly satisfying because they are Jesus' kinds of things. Jesus' words show us at the moment that he felt abandoned, he chose to pray. My God, why have you forsaken me? Is a prayer. And these words really are the first words from Psalm 22. Jesus is quoting scripture here. He's praying, maybe even singing while he's on the cross. When we experience tough times, we can be disappointed and turn away and act as if God doesn't exist. We can distance ourselves from God because we didn't get the help that we wanted. But that's not what Jesus does. Even though he feels abandoned and questions God, he's still praying. Questioning God is a prayer of faith, even in the middle of confusion. And even more than questioning, Jesus is actually seeking God in these words. The first words of Psalm 22 are this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you don't answer. And by night, I find no rest. Well, sometimes a person who is dying sings a few lines of a song or speaks a few words from a verse or a poem. Even if they can't speak or sing the whole entire phrase or song, you know what they are thinking about. That's what Jesus is doing here. He's remembering Psalm 22, which is a psalm about when David was suffering at the hands of his enemies. Look at the parallels which Jesus leaned into and recognized. Verse 7, all who seek me mock me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. They divide my clothing amongst themselves. They cast lots for my clothing. The psalm speaks to Jesus' experience on the cross. But it doesn't end with these words of despair and anguish. Verse 24 says, he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. Jesus leans into this psalm, not only because it speaks to his despair, but it always carries him to trusting in God, who has always heard him and would deliver him eventually. When we feel lost and abandoned, we can choose to believe that God has not disappeared or turned his back on us. We can choose to believe that even though we may not see it, God is present and hears us when we cry in prayer. And that helps us to have a confidence in a future that we have not yet seen. Jesus probably remembered in these moments that Psalm 22 has a hopeful conclusion. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. These words point that death is not the end of the story. Not for the psalm writer, not for Jesus on the cross, not for the movement that God has begun in Jesus. These are not the last words of Christ. He has more to say to us from the cross. He also has more to say when he is resurrected on Easter morning. The feelings of abandonment and despair were not the last words for Jesus. They were not the end of the story. And suffering and heartache and death will not be God's final word for any of us either. Amen.